What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast, where we talk about all things horror, movies, music, and in this case, social media apps. And yes, I did not change my shirt from the last podcast because our guests really liked it. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to keep it for that and also because I'm lazy. I'm of course, here with my usual suspect, Zachary Smith.
I don't know why I work with him.
Because I'm entertaining. And we have the fantastic Vinny Prisco hanging out with us as well. I believe his fourth podcast here on the is it third?
Yep.
So it would be your hat trick, sir. The creator of the fantastic social media app Slasher, Mr. Damon. Thank you so much, man, for being on the Nightmares Podcast again. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's always nice hanging out with you guys.
And we really appreciate it. And actually, we got a lot of compliments like on our last podcast. I think Poltergeist OD actually commented on. He's like, "This is one of the best podcasts in horror today that I've seen. It's so important to the conversations you guys are having." And I'm like, "Wow, that's really deep." And yeah. You know, he's been, you know, he's of course as a friend, so he's going to talk, you know, very very nice about us. And you know, and the as often friends do, or at least they should, you know. Although your best,
hopefully they do.
Your best friends though will talk mad shit, but do it with love. But yeah, no, we're definitely very very happy to have you on again. Let's cut right to the chase. You have a couple very, very strong announcements, big announcements to unveil here on the Nightmares Podcast, and you were so gracious to do it with us, which is really, really, really cool. So thank you for that, that you thought of us to do it here. So, sir, take it away.
So yeah, so the first one is the website. So the website is coming soon. You had a little bit of a sneak preview of it. So it's going into the sneak preview mode where everybody that's got an invitation, or signed up for an invitation, they're going to go out very soon. And so once they go out, there's going to be a sneak preview. And then we just want to make sure everything's good. As long as it's 100%, then it's going to be available for everyone all worldwide. I'm hoping the sneak preview is going to happen middle of May by the latest. So we're just working on the last couple little bugs, getting all that stuff squared away. And, then what we're going to do, not a lot of people know about this. I mean, some people who are on the app know, but I don't know how far that news got, but when the website goes live, we're actually going to take the mobile app down. It's not dead, not dead. It's just temporarily going away because we're going to re-release a new app. So we've got the new website followed very quickly by the new app. Mm-hmm. When I say quickly, I'm talking about, you know, weeks and not months.
Okay.
So we're getting ready for it, and I'm super excited for it.
Nice. So what was the reasoning by pulling down the mobile app?
The biggest thing is it was easier for us to rebuild the app based on what the website looks like and how it works and all the features and everything, rather than recoding what we already have. So it's a matter of how we're going to maintain consistency and features and things like that. So he felt it was kind of best really just to say, you know what, let's make everyone completely aware that the app is going to go down for a little bit and that that the website will be completely available. It'll have, you know, pretty much all the same stuff. And then the new app is going to come out right after that. But, you know, the idea was really, how are we maintaining consistency and features? So, for example, like when I typed that review, so what happens now is that review goes to the home screen on the mobile app. It shouldn't be doing that, but it's just the way that it's working, you know, because the two things are different. So for those types of reasons, I want to make sure that we have more consistency and we don't have things like that going on and people going, why am I seeing this here? what does this mean? You know? So it seemed like just the most effective way to get things done as quickly as possible. You know, I want to make sure people can access the website immediately. Cause I know a lot of people have been asking for it. And you know, in order to do that, yeah, we have to get that out as quick as possible. But then, you know, the mobile app is going to come down for just a little bit. Everyone will still be able to do their stuff on the site.
Nice, nice. The and without giving too much away, you kind of delved into it a little bit, but the review portion that you just talked about, anything you can give us a little sneak peek on that side of the coin?
Yeah, yeah. So that was in the movie section. So movie database is getting a really nice overhaul. We've got more movies in it now. We've got the ability to write reviews and have conversations about them and stuff like that. We have things that could prevent, people could just check a box and say there's spoilers in this. So that way people who want to talk about the spoilers that have already seen it can do that without wrecking it for everyone else. You know, so that's one of the new things that we're doing. We've also revamped, like the rating systems, we're calling them, right? So you've got your user rating, which is like a 1 to 5 star type situation. Then you've got a new feature that we put out, called Worth a Watch. So basically it's just a quick, like, hey, is this worth watching? Because sometimes, you know, when people give things ratings, like a 5 star rating, a 1 star rating, whatever, it doesn't necessarily translate to, is it worth watching? It could mean like it reflects the quality of, you know, maybe the writing was not as good as it could have been. Maybe it was just shot badly. Maybe the lighting was bad. Maybe the sound was bad. Doesn't necessarily make it a bad story or something that's not worth checking out. You know, if you go to IMDb, there's tons of horror movies that are like 2 and 3 stars that everyone loves.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like a, you know, a shortcut, like, instead of having to translate, what do these ratings mean? Should I check it out or not? You know, it's either a yes or a no real quick. We want to make it easy for everyone. You know, I thought it was a great idea to put that in there because people will always ask, even though the ratings are there. So it just kind of made sense. And then the new feature that we have is something that horror has not seen before. And this is called Gore Factor. What this is, it's a 5 blood spatter range, you know, 1 to 5, as to let people tell others gory they think that this movie is. Some people totally love the gore, the blood, the guts, all that stuff. You know, there's other people who maybe they just don't care for that stuff quite as much. So this is something to help people figure out, like, is this something I'm going to like? So really, it's another one of those time saver things, help people find what they're looking for more quickly, you know, just give people more of what they want more efficiently and make it something that's worth something to people, you know?
Nice.
I think that's the important part.
Nice. Yeah. I know Zach would absolutely love that gore rating. That definitely is right up his alley. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh yeah, that's a nice feature. I'm loving the whole overhaul of the system. A question I actually have is, so how do you get the database? Like, where does it pull the movies from, so on and so forth?
Well, there's actually a third party open source database that we use for that. Letterboxd uses the same one. So I don't know if anyone really has their own data. Maybe IMDb, but I don't think a lot of places really have their own data necessarily. I think most places are either using this database or other stuff. But that's the way we've been working on it so far.
Okay.
And it's been good.
Yeah. Awesome.
How, I just out of my own curiosity, how old is Slasher at this point?
At the end of this month, it'll be 4.
Wow. 4 years. Because I know, Zach, I met you, I think, when it was still in the beta trial, if end I'm not
of,
mistaken.
It would have been at the end of 2019, because that's when went to the New Jersey Con, and that's when I just saw the flyer, and I was like, take this home and look at it later.
I think the question I had for you, though, is you know, over the last 4 years, what's been the most surprising thing about running it is a social media application, so, you know, I know that that's a right. dirty word, but, you know, at the end of the day, it is. So I'm very curious about what's been the biggest surprises for you running this.
I guess first of all, the biggest surprise was just how awesome everybody's been. Like the people who are on it, they are really like such a great, like nice, kind, thoughtful group of people who just want to have fun enjoying horror stuff and you know, not dealing with any of the other bullshit that you find elsewhere, you know? I think that's been the biggest surprise. And it's been great because everyone is, you know, even though it's built into our rules that everyone has to be respectful to each other, people just were without, you know, having to say it. So that's really awesome. It's good to see people coming together over the same thing, having fun, enjoying themselves. That's what it's all about, you know? So I think that's been the best thing.
Nice. Fantastic. So Vinny, I'm curious, man, you just downloaded this app in the last 30 minutes. And already got a bunch of friend requests and everything else. You know, what's been your, you know, being a person, by the way, Damon, I don't think any of us are particularly big social media fans. We don't really care for it all that much. So I'm curious, Vinny, you know, what's been your reaction so far?
I mean, I'll admit for how much if I ever said like, oh, do I care about it? It's like, well, I'll be honest, I use it a lot. So I think it's pretty cool, like just how easily it looks like you can connect with people. I'm trying to kind of figure out like the basics at the moment, like, but it seems to be pretty easy to set up the profile and set up everything as far as that goes. I'm kind of right. I'm at the point right now. I'm trying to figure out how I make sure my movie lists are showing, or those show automatically.
That's very important to him. The movie lists.
Yeah, what you've watched or what you're a fan of or this and that. I don't know. It helps.
If you add the movies to your watched list, that automatically shows up on your profile.
Wow. Got it. Okay, that's what I thought. I was hoping so.
To talk about with other people, you know.
So a little bit of tech support right here on the podcast.
Very helpful. Yeah, because I even got it right here right now. So okay, I think I see that. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So and I know this is just me being curious about the situation. Has there been a noticed by some folks in the tech community? By and large, or are they pretty much leaving you alone right now? I'm curious about if people have been, you know, from that community of the tech and social media and all that world, have they started to reach out to you over the last 4 years with some of the things that have been going on?
Really? I mean, if anything, it's maybe like, you know, people who are more like known in horror, but no, I mean, in tech, those people are dealing in billions of users.
Sure.
You know, we're not, even if we were to, you know, pop out, we're not going to be like at billions of users. Like the community is large, but be able to access everyone in it, I don't think anyone's going to be able to do that. I mean, look, anything's possible, I suppose, but if you just look at the statistics, you know, I think Facebook is the largest and growing tremendously. But even so, like, you know, you have to think about the percentage of people they actually have. So if we look at the percentage of horror fans, we'll probably get a fairly good, you know, percentage of those people. But you know, they're so much bigger that, you know, if we got everybody, they're not going to blink.
Yeah, no. I kind of figured that, but I think it was worth asking. You know, when you started this whole thing, obviously, and it's kind of funny. We've actually like been doing podcasts with you as you've been growing and chatting with you. It's been fun. You know, I know you and I have had, you know, a couple conversations. I know Zach's had a couple conversations with you as well. And when you started this whole thing, I'm sure you had a very, you know, a pretty strong vision, or at least, you know, something very, very clear. And I'm curious, you know, as you've gone through this last 4 years, has that vision adjusted, or has it kind of always remained constant? And but what is that vision? You know, for those people who are hopping in for the first time, I don't think I've ever asked you that question either. So there we go.
Vision hasn't really changed. It kind of comes down to how to best deliver it. That's the only thing that's sort of changed or pivoted or anything like that. You know, I mean, the vision itself is to give our a place where people can connect and speak, you know, and people can find one another. They can find stuff that they're looking for. You know, the websites are amazing. You know, like all the news and reviews websites are absolutely terrific. They're all just doing such a good job at helping us see what's going on. But, you know, what I want to do is like that. The indie people don't really have much of a chance. You know, so I'm just trying to make sure that we also recognize that side of things, because, you know, even if you're making like films that are recognized and well known within the genre, everybody has to be able to. And with mainstream social media being so difficult to navigate for horror, this just seems to make a lot of sense, because now we're sort of helping people to do what they want to do. Now they just don't have to do it on Facebook or Instagram. Now they can come to us to do it, because this is where the audience is for them. You know, this is where the horror fans are. This is where everybody's thriving. So it really just kind of comes down to, okay, well, we're all hanging out here. So if you want to share your stuff, you want people to see what's going on, you want to keep everyone in the loop, if you know, unless you're a bigger name, then hang out and do your thing and see what other people are doing. Maybe you work together, maybe you don't, maybe you find stuff that you never would have found before. So it's cool. A million times now, but like everyone has to start, and we want to be the place that helps people go from their first movie to, you know, being successful. And it's the grassroots stuff that I find to be the way to get that done. You know, I mean, even with like conventions and stuff like that, we've seen conventions just kind of popping up, and they started with so little, you know, and they made themselves grow and be successful just because they put in the work, they put in the effort to really get the things done, without spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars to just reach people. So I think it's a big deal to give people that option where, so like, okay, you're just starting out, so let's get you out there. And the people who really do get involved are the ones that become more successful. Like you talked about Poltergeist OD before. Mm-hmm. Such an awesome dude. He's doing exactly that. You know, he's just knocking on doors and just putting in the effort and doing what he's got to do to get in front of people. So, you know, he's doing the right things. And I think he's going to be tremendously successful if he just keeps doing it. You know, you don't know where your big break is going to be until you knock on that door and talk to the right people. And the only way to do that is just to keep going. So, you know, we want to be able to provide that kind of stuff. And we are providing it. We've got people who are making movies together because they met on Slasher. I think it's really cool to see that kind of thing start to come together for people. That kind of thing is meaning, you know, you're not just screaming out into a void. You know, like you might be on Instagram when, you know, maybe you've got 1,000 followers, but you might only be reaching 1 to 10% of them, depending on how much work you do for getting Instagram content, you know?
Of course.
Sure.
We're not like, you know, we don't have those kind of algorithms because we don't have to. You know, people are friends with you. It's a mutual thing. It's not just a one-sided thing. And, you know, you connect with people. You both have an opportunity at that point. So it's interesting to see all of that. And you know, to me, that's really what it's all about, is helping people connect so they can either enjoy the stuff that they want to enjoy, or to do other things, to do bigger things, to work with more people, to get out there. That's what it's all about, is just having the opportunity to create that space where people kind of.
It's a true connection. It's a true connection. Yeah. And also, too, is you're providing people a resource who are almost, in some cases, actually a lot of cases, social media homeless. I know that Poltergeist, you know, OD Corey, we've talked to him many times, and he said, you know, like I felt very ostracized in other social media apps, not Slasher.
Yeah.
Not Slasher. I felt right at home with all of my people. And also too, as I know Zach, and I'll pass it over to him in a second, is not a social media fan at all. Like, he is not in there at all. Like, you know, I have arguments with him over having a Twitter for the business.
We will not be having a Twitter account. That is a stance I will not budge on. We have Slasher, Facebook, and Instagram we never use.
And TikTok.
And that's, oh yeah, TikTok, but he manages that.
I do.
I am fine with what we have. We do not need Twitter. Twitter is just hell. I don't want to deal with the people. It is a nightmare. That is Zach's Angry Rant, sponsored by the Midwest Horror Network. Thanks for tuning in. Back to our regular scheduled Slasher program. Because I am apparently known as the angry motherfucker, which, yeah, that makes sense. Anyway.
He is really taking on that title of the angry.
It's just
for real, dude. For real.
Here's the thing. Slasher, I have not had a single bad experience with Slasher. I have not seen anything negative on Slasher. Like, nobody's screaming to the world about dumb shits. No one's shitting on each other. Everyone is just boosting each other up. Or they're just talking about things they like. It's almost like, is this the internet?
I got my movie list working. I'm excited.
That's all Vinny gave a shit about. Like, he's like, I just want to get my movie.
I think that's an important thing to showcase. So yeah, we'll see what you're into.
And that's the thing with Damon, though. Damon is technical support. Like,
he's the one who messes him. Like, people can reach out to you and you will respond. You don't get anything with that with Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. God help you if you need tech support on YouTube. You're rich and famous. Yeah, you're 10 types of screwed.
You're screwed.
You don't have any of these problems on Slasher. That's why I constantly shout it out or darken it out at the end of every podcast, because it's a genuinely great app and it is such a nice place.
Cool, I'm liking it.
It's a horror app that you'd have no reason to be scared of. It's the most welcoming, kindest community I have literally ever seen on the internet, and it's the only place I actually post normal shit to, mainly what video game I'm playing at the time, if it's horror related. Manhunt, The Thing for PS2, Dead Space Remake, which was awesome. It's just great.
Yeah, also the same token, totally. It's the horror community incarnate. Like, those people who walk into the cons and have that experience of the love and the support, which is always ironic because it's because these are a group of people that love to watch horrible, awful, deplorable shit. They're the nicest, most well-adjusted people. It's probably because they watch all that shit. But I digress. That we talked about that in the last podcast. The but it's that in a social media form, and you don't get that. I mean, and Vinny's been to plenty of the cons, and so I mean, lots. and you know how loving and supporting cool. the, you know, the whole community
is. Well, it's cool. It's just it's a lot of people you can just come up and talk to. And I think it's too that everybody knows they're all interested in the same thing, so there's a lot to connect over.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot. You know.
Right, and that's a large part of it. You're coming into a space where you already have something in common. I mean, aside from just being human, you've got a new thing in common where it's like okay, this is something that's really specific. So it's easy to feel comfortable. When you don't have like people throwing barbs for no reason.
And I see a lot of it. You always have a point of origin with slasher. And what I mean by that is exactly what you just mentioned, horror. The when you just talk to random people on the internet, that you can get very cloudy with what you don't agree on.
Right.
And with slasher, it comes to the forefront of here's what you do agree on is you're here. You love horror. That's the reason why you're here. And you can go, oh, I may disagree with this person on other things, but we can always go back to horror. We can always go back to it because it's always there. And slasher constantly reminds you saying, hey, you know, remember, you're on here because you love the genre. And it's always something that you're going to connect with these other people on. I totally, totally agree. I know that you've been working on getting this international. Is the website going to push that internationally, or is that still something that you're working on getting this worldwide?
Yeah, no, it's going to be worldwide right out of the gate. It's not like the apps, which are very region specific right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we can accommodate everybody from different places to do what they want to do. You know, like the first thing that we're going to have is the events calendar, actually. So the events calendar, you know, you're not just saying, oh, okay, there's a new convention in Ohio. You're going to say, oh, okay, there's a new convention, you know, in, I don't know, England, you know, in London. So, you know, you'll really be able to see what's going on around the world. And if you're, you know, feeling up to it, take a trip out to Europe and see what's going on, see what the scene's like over there, connect with people, get to know people. But you'll know what's going on. You'll be able to see that. So that's really the first step to the internationalization of it. You know, the other thing was, it was the dating room. We didn't really have international, and that's actually coming down temporarily when the website comes. We're going to re-release that. We've redesigned it. We're rebuilding it. We know that there's potential there, and at least the way we're doing it. And we think people are going to like it, but we needed to make sure that everyone, you know, that it wasn't such a, you know, a little.
Yeah, no, 110%. I definitely have a question about international, but I do want to bring this up. What made you add the dating feature to this? Because it was always something that always was very curious to me. Like, I remember seeing it, and like, we would talk to a few friends and like, you know, would go on there. I think there wasn't as much activity in Chicago as much, but I think it was probably more elsewhere. But I'm very curious, like, why you decided to get into that area.
Well, I mean, dating in general is hard these days. And then to go on to like apps that are just kind of for everybody, well, how likely are you going to find somebody that you truly connect with when you're a horror fan? You know, most of us are like really into it. So to be able to find somebody you can live that lifestyle with, it's not the same going to like Bumble or Tinder or something like that. You know, those are, they're very akin to the mainstream social media apps. So I figured this is also a place that's actually important. So it would be really smart and useful to put something like this together. So that way this community can really truly be served. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of just, again, it comes back to connecting, you know, that's what it's all is making those connections. Like when I first started going to the conventions, that's what I would do. I would be friends with like so many of the vendors there. It's like, oh, I know so-and-so. Okay. They want to do something. Oh, you know, I know that person over there who wants to do something kind of similar to that. Why don't I make you guys connect and see what you want to do? And you can help each other out in like different ways and not step on each other's toes, but complement each other.
Nice.
It's all about the connection, you know?
Nice. I love that. I absolutely love that. The it's really cool to get that, you know, get that started. I'm very curious about, you know, I'll have to ask Zach, who's the only single guy at this table, the future of that as we move along. I didn't say that to make you sad, bro. Oh, dude, I'm honestly glad I'm out of it. I'm out the game.
If you could make the dating app just point all the women towards me, I would very much appreciate it.
It kind of goes against his mantra of not manipulating an algorithm. He's
connecting someone, okay? A desperate, poor horror fan who does not know what he's doing.
Damon the slasher pimp.
All right. Well, we just went there. Anyways,
Damon the slasher Cupid.
Cupid is nicer.
Cupid's nicer. All right, cool. But pimp was funnier though. So,
I mean, Andy, I'm from New York. So,
what's up?
I am from New York. I'm not offended by that.
We just got to get you a new hat, brother. A couple rings, you'll be all right. This is what happens when Chicagoans and New Yorkers joke about things that we understand. It's reality.
As long as you're not called sport, that's a taxi driver reference.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be bad. I know that we've had this discussion with Mar. We've had this discussion with a couple other our guests when it comes to the international community. It's going to be very interesting to start to broaden your horizons outside of the U.S. because I know that horror in a lot of places is very some places is frowned upon. In other places, it's just not very common. So I'm very curious on your take on, you know, on what you think it's going to be like delving into the international market where horror is just not, you know, in the UK and Ireland, it's pretty good, you know. But I mean, even in, you know, like, you know, Australia, it's not very big and they don't even really celebrate Halloween out there. So I'm very curious as you delve into the international market, you know, what do you think that that reaction is going to be like?
I mean, it's been pretty good so far. From day one, people have been asking from all over the world. And it's funny because apparently there are certain under-the-radar sites who distribute apps that aren't available in every area. So basically, I'll look at the analytics and I'll see Sweden and Finland and like, all kinds of places I would have never in a million years expected to see anybody from just because of availability, but people thought it out and found their way.
So they're doing a little VPN fuckery.
Maybe.
Not even. It's not even VPN. It's just that, you know, once you have the install file, it's just getting to the install file that's the only issue. But the reason that I didn't do that is because I didn't want to underestimate the demand and have us blow up like the first week in a bad way.
Fair enough.
I just didn't want to see things implode and have servers constantly crashing like we've already seen. you know, it was strategic more than anything else. But no, I mean, I'm seeing, you know, people are just super excited to get on and join and be a part of it. And I'm really happy about that. You know, I want to make sure that these people feel as comfortable as everyone who's on it does. You know, it's like, feel like, you know, I want you to come and join us, you know, and feel the way we're feeling about it. But it's like, you know, it's tough because I know it's not quite ready today. So, but I, you know, I'm glad that they're excited, they're interested, that they're always asking, like, you know, when are you coming out with this? When are you coming out with the website? When are you going to be released here and there? And it's nice. I'm really happy about it. But I think that it's going to be really cool to see new perspectives. You know, it's going to be cool to find out about things that maybe don't exist here in the U.S. You know, maybe there's some great movies and books or, you know, whatever, music, art. I mean, the U.S. is a really, really, really tough market. If you break in here, that's it. You know, you've officially made it. People, there's a lot of people who don't even try break into the U.S. because they don't need to. You know, I find that a lot of other places seem to be more open than we are, and more. Take music, for example, right? In some other countries, tremendous music bands. And as long as it's like played well, they could pull 100,000 people to a show, yeah. You know, you don't have that here. You know, you don't have people who are that level of excited for something that's not top 40. So it's cool to see those differences and how people are in other places, how things work in other places. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what's going on elsewhere. That's what I'm into, you know? But, like, I just don't think we're exposed to enough things that aren't based here. You know, we get mostly American stuff. Maybe we get some stuff from the UK. You know, we've gotten a bunch of stuff from Korea. And they've proven themselves to be pretty damn awesome. You know, there's Japan there's Japan that's been kicking ass for like a long time, but they're just not on the American radar. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a shame because there's so much good stuff out there that we really need to get on.
Yeah, no,
I absolutely agree with that. I'm not the biggest Netflix fan, but the one thing that I do, you know, praise it for is there is a lot of great foreign horror films or even sci-fi films on Netflix. Yep. Like there's this Belgium show called Into the Night. And then there's a spinoff show with that called, I'm going to butcher the hell out of this name, Yakimov something 42, whatever. And it's essentially about the sun laying down gamma radiation and just murdering the hell out of everyone. I'm like, this is great. There's the Korean show Hellbound where demons come up, beat the shit out of you brutally, and drag your ass to hell. I'm like, this is fucking sick. And then you got Squid Games. You got All of Us Are Dead. There's all this great foreign content out there that is just marvelous. Yeah. The problem is people only either generally know about the Japanese or the Korean stuff, but don't really pay attention to anything else. But there's so much wonderful stuff out there.
Yeah.
And the best part is it's new and original ideas that we haven't seen before. And that's what makes it fun. It's just, it's nice.
And actually too, is you know, the opposite can be just as true. The, and the two examples I brought up in like mainstream pop culture, and it can work in anybody else's advantage, is David Hasselhoff and the Backstreet Boys. All of David Hasselhoff's albums suck ass here, but he's like huge in Germany. And then for the first like God, fucking 7 years of the Backstreet Boys' existence, they were massive in Europe. Like, they had, like, top-rated albums in Europe. Nobody knew who the fuck they were in the U.S. Like, it wasn't until, like, 97 did they actually, you know, start to break into Canada and then into the U.S. But they were huge in Europe for, like, at least a solid 4 years before anybody ever heard them in the U.S. And the opposite can be true here of podcasts that are done in America and not maybe not as a popular or films that are done in America, but they're not as popular here, but maybe they're really fucking huge in Denmark or in Sweden or in Japan. And Slasher is a great tool for that from an international perspective to bring all that entertainment there. And also too, Damon, I mean, and this is something very important and I really want people to listen to this. You are providing opportunities for things that didn't exist before. You are providing success for people. Mm-hmm. And that's one example of it. It's one example of...
Maybe not directly to the road.
And I mean, everybody's going to put in the work and do the product and everything else, but you are allowing small businesses to crop up. Because this is a small business. It's exactly what it is. It's a small business, and it can be a larger business. You're allowing filmmakers that nobody would give a fuck about in the U.S. Maybe they didn't do well in the film the film circuit. They didn't do well at the contests. But then all of a sudden you open them up to other audiences throughout the world, and they love the stuff. So you're giving an opportunity to people that may have not have an opportunity. And I'm giving you kind of a compliment, a really nice compliment here, is that that's amazing. You're giving opportunities that didn't exist before to very talented people. And us in the horror community, thank you very much for that. Go ahead, Vinny.
Oh, you're good. I was just saying, I just the networking ability alone, something I was noticing on there, I listed – now, I don't know if this is why they friended me on there or not, but who knows? Maybe it opens up avenues. You never know. But I have on there – you know, I do acting and writing, and there's other people, and we're noticing that are adding me – that you get – that add you, and they're trying to do films. They're trying to do stuff like that. So you never know. Yeah. It's like they might, you know, it's just a basic networking tool. I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, you know, it's 100%.
I'm realizing too.
100%. 110%, Damon. Vinny. But I mean, Damon, like I said, you're giving the I'm going to get real dramatic here. Yeah, you're giving a voice to the voiceless.
I appreciate that so much. I mean, that's really what I want to be able to do. You know, people talk about a level playing field. Well, there's not even a field. There's not even like anything. So I really am making every effort to make this that. You know, you could come in with, you know, a major motion picture. You can come out with an indie movie. You still have the same opportunity, you know? I mean, the only difference being somebody with a major motion picture can spend, you know, $10,000 a month on ads, but otherwise you still can connect to the same number of people if you want to. You know, you just have to put in the time to make those connections and make it work. You know, there's no algorithms that are saying, oh, well, you post 250 times a day, people really like your stuff, so we're going to boost you and make sure more people see it. No, it's not like that. You know, you post stuff, people can see it because, you know, just based on the order or the time that you posted it. That's it. There's nothing saying, well, because of this, then this. No, it's, you know, everyone that you're connected with has the opportunity to see what you're sharing. We're not limiting anything. We're not doing anything like that. We're saying, okay, because you're here and because you're connected to these people, you have the opportunity to get in front of them. They have the opportunity to see it. So it's really as an equitable situation as I could make it, you know?
Yeah, and like you said, you're not being run over by the algorithm. It reminds me of old school Facebook. That's how I describe it to a lot of people. I was like, it's old school before the algorithm. You're just requesting people, right. and you're building an audience from there. And I mean, I just went through my messages on there, and I'm like, wow, we met a lot of fucking people on here. A lot of people. Like I would say we've had a lot of guests. I mean, Corey we met on Slasher. We met Ian, yeah. who is one of his beat producers, who works at the Last Blockbuster in Bent, Oregon. The Squib, Squib OD, the OD, he was fantastic. Just a great, solid guy, had a ball. We just met the guys from Better Dead Podcast, who are in Minnesota, who were fucking hilarious. We talked to them, about stuff, and they had nothing but wonderful things to say about Slasher and you. The list goes on and on. All my guts, the mask makers from Florida that we've had on.
Yeah.
All the fans that we've made. I mean, fuck. The one we just had, That's a Random Podcast. We met Mar on Slasher. And we started to, build a friendship with her. So, I mean, it's gonna, like, Al Omega, the another person that was on there. It's insane, like what has allowed us and who we have met and the friendships that we have cultivated. Damon, wait till you start getting the posts for marriages. Then you're really gonna go, oh fuck, the people that started dating on Slasher. And they're gonna say that we met people on. You already have them.
Yeah, like a couple of years ago, there was the first one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm aware of, I think, two marriages and several engagements that happened from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's fantastic.
I know. That's cool. Like when these people messaged me, I was just like, I was so happy that they were able to connect the way that they did, and that the thing that I put together was the thing was where they connected. I mean, that made me feel so good just to know that it's making a difference in people's lives, and I know I can do so much more, it has to get out there. I got to get this website done. Get it out there, start really, really pushing and spreading the word. Cause I haven't done a lot of promotion. I suck at marketing, most business owners are the same way. Artists and business owners, like, unless you got somebody who's really been around for a while, like those are the people that know like what the hell's going on. But most, like, when I first started out, I was like, fuck, do I know what I'm doing? This was like back in 96. I started my first company back then. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I just tried to do the same things that everybody else did. you learn as you go, just like how it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When you first start out, you're just like, this is great. But as you go on, now you've learned so much more shit because you've had these experiences and you see what happens and how there's all this cause and effect that occur. But just knowing that they connected, on the thing that I made, I was just really. It's making a difference, and that's cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Everybody, like, a little emotional. I could feel it in the air just a little bit. And the friendships that are built upon it. And here's what I'll say, anybody that's listening and that wants to do something, just start. You just heard from Damon about this app and about all his other businesses, and anybody else at this table will tell you the same thing. But just start in a direction.
Yeah.
because even you, Damon, who, I mean, you have a very, very, you know, so far damn successful app, but you have, you know, you said yourself, you have so much more to do. And that'll come in time. But you have to start. You got to start. You have to start, and then you figure it out along the way. You know, don't give up. Just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge I've seen a lot of people face, is that planning is important. Don't get me wrong. Know your shit. But you could know everything in the world, but if you don't do it, if you don't start, like you said, you're not going to go anywhere. So you have to maintain that momentum, but you have to do it intelligently, you know? And that's what I've been working on for like 25 years, which has gotten me here to this point, which is like, all right, now I've got a much better understanding. I know it's a drop in the bucket compared to what I could know. But that's why you have a good team. That's why you get people around you who complement one another. And that's what I've done. That's what I'm still doing. And things start to fall into place. You see things more clearly, you know, because when I started out, I wanted to do this right, you know, and I knew in order to do it right, I had to run it like a business. I couldn't run it like it was just a thing for fun, you know, because things for fun, people come and go, and, you know, it's like one day they're excited about it, the next day they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't about to do that. I decided that when I was going to do this, I was absolutely in. You know, having that mindset, looking at everything, going, okay, I'm going to put a business plan together just so I have direction. You know, there is so much shit in that business plan that, like, because I downloaded some template and I'm like, all right, filling in all the blanks, coming up with all the answers. Like, it took years to be able to actually, like, fill out all of it, because there's stuff like that you just don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't know that you don't know it, and you don't know how to get the information. But when you're there, like when you're in situations where you're like, oh, all right, now I see, you know, it's always that you don't know how things are going to work in the future. You can always estimate, you can get information elsewhere. You know, it just comes down to like the experience. And time, and you could shorten that by having a good team too.
Sure.
So I've been really fortunate to have some amazing people around me who, you know, are helping me get to reach those goals that I've set. So that's the other thing, is just, as long as you are all on the same page, you're going to go places. You know, it's drive that having a collective pool of knowledge is really important, but it all comes in time. You know, people, like you said, they have to start. And when you start, like, you'll be able to get to those places. When I started, it was literally just me, hiring developers. And I didn't have anybody like watching my back or looking out for anything. It was me, like, having to have 360 degrees of eyesight for like what was going on. And I was fortunate enough to be able to get as, then as time went on, people started to notice and people started to approach me and say, hey, you know, I like what you're doing. How can I get involved? Or, you know, I'll be talking to somebody about what I'm doing, and they would say, you know what, this is kind of interesting, I'd like to get involved. So just because people aren't involved first day doesn't mean anything. You know, I think people need to see your passion, your drive, your ingenuity, and how far you're willing to go. And what you're able to do with that. So the biggest thing was is that I was doing this at first for me to solve some needs that I had and some things that I wanted to accomplish. But then it very quickly, once I started building it, I was like, this isn't about me in any way. This is about all these people, you know? So it was my need that I was trying to initially fill, but then realizing that there's so many other people who have very similar needs and interests and want to accomplish stuff. So it really went down this rabbit hole of this is about everyone else. And that was like an impactful moment when I recognized that and said, all right, then what I'm doing now, this is who I'm doing this is a genre and everyone who's excited about it and interested in it and part of it. That's how you get where you want to go. Long fucking Kevin Smith rant. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, present company included of loving what you're doing and wanting to be involved in it as much as you can. So I have one more question and then we'll get to the question of the podcast, of which I was inspired by some of the things you were talking about for that. But any other announcements, anything big coming up on the horizon for Slasher besides the things that you kind of already mentioned, maybe anything that you want to, maybe wink, wink, drop a hint about?
So we're redoing the movie section. That I'm super, super excited about. I'm a huge fan of the movies, but you know, coming out with all those new features was exciting to think about, okay, how can I make people's lives easier? How can I save people time? What can I do that might be useful? There are new sections coming out. I mean, they already exist in the mobile app, but they're going to be completely revamped. That includes books, podcast, music, all that kind of stuff, completely being redone. They're going to be totally interactive, much more like the movie section. That I'm looking forward to.
We are too.
Of course, we have the coming soon.
We are too, especially that podcast.
Coming soon.
It's especially that podcast section.
You guys will be involved.
No. We will be in as much involved as you would like us to be involved.
Stop being so pushy, Mark. Let him do his thing.
I was very gracious there, sir. I said we will be as involved as he would like us to be involved. I just said I was looking forward to it. Mister, so critical all the time. He's so critical all the time.
Goddamn right. Somebody has to be.
The angry voice on the podcast. A24 here.
At least for two of you to have that conversation. I have to have those conversations by myself.
I think this is a dude thing. When we yell at the TV, we clearly know that they can hear us and then they can talk back to us. That is just a reality of men watching television.
Especially if you're watching a movie that you're disgruntled with.
Oh, absolutely. And we can name a few of them, not on this podcast.
I'm the guy who apparently thinks I'm like saying all this shit in my head, but I'm actually screaming.
Yeah, he says the quiet part out loud.
I still remember when I was watching Mandalorian and I'm just sitting here just going like, what the fuck? How is a Mandalorian being beaten by Jawas? And I'm thinking I'm saying this all in my head. I go outside to my roommate Brandon, and he's just like, so I take it you didn't like the episode. I'm like, how the hell did you know that? You were screaming everything. I'm like, wait, what? Oh my, wow.
You fucking psycho.
Okay, I need help.
Yes, you do. Damon is laughing.
He has like the opposite problem in American Psycho, you know, where he thinks he's saying shit, but he's not actually saying
it. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He thinks he's not saying it, but it's in his head.
What do you do for a living? I'm into murders and executions.
So-and-so is involved with mergers and acquisitions.
Exactly.
The opposite problem.
Damon, if anything, you'll have a good time hanging out with us. That's at least you'll laugh and they and have a good time. We'll wrap it up here with the question of the podcast. You know, we were talking about a lot of inspirational things and you know, and putting in the work, and I think this is, it kind of echoes that. If you were going to go back in time and talk to your 21-year-old self, what would you say? And as per usual, as per tradition, guests do get to go first, but they can pass it if they would like. If you do have something, then, you know, Damon, the floor is yours, sir.
I would say a lot of things. that conversation might be long. Is there a time limit?
No.
Well, maybe a few highlights.
No. I mean, with the conversation with my.
No. It could be as long as it wants. But for the sake of this conversation, maybe just do the abridged, Spark Notes version.
Oh Jesus.
No, I mean, I think I would definitely make myself aware of what's actually important, whether it's in life, in business, in love, in whatever. What is actually important? I think that's the biggest thing. Because people, including myself, caught up in all kinds of bullshit that frankly don't mean anything in the long term. You know, it's like, all right, here's this thing now in front of me that's, you know, I have to face or deal with or think about or whatever. I would definitely bring that up as one of the things is what is important. I think that summarized the whole thing.
Nice. I love it. Zach?
Be more goddamn confident and reach out to these people and start working with them a hell of a lot earlier than what you actually did.
Vinny?
Be more confident. I kind of can relate though to you, what you were saying about like the things that matter and the things that you're just like, yeah, I'd be like, there's shit you're upset about right now, but you're upset today, but it's not going to mean shit. Another thing, take your time. I would say there's certain things I would say, move on, have confidence, but then there's things I would also say, just, yeah, take your time, take one day at a time.
Yeah,
and I think for me it's very similar to, and it's funny how it's all similar. The it kind of shows, you know, what type of men we have here. The of don't give so much time to bullshit. Don't sweat the small stuff. There's so the silliest things are not that important. The I definitely say take your time and give quality of effort to those things, and then also, the things that you think are going to be awful, the things that you worry about so much, you're so afraid of, you know, but there are always things that you know that you have to do or want to do, but you're so damn afraid. Don't be. You'll waste more time being afraid and worrying about that thing that you want to do, when in fact, when you finally do it, you'll just regret of all the time that you wasted fucking being worried about it and being afraid of it. And I think that's the big, youth is wasted on the young. It's one of those things. Don't be so afraid. Just go after what you want and don't sweat that small shit. And and take your time. You got more of it than you know. I know everybody says, you know, time is short and everything else, but for a younger person, you know, some things are worth putting time into. They're worth putting in the quality of time to. So you have more time with it than you think. And anything good of quality, it takes time. So, Damon, this is your opportunity. You've done this a couple times already, so you know exactly what to do. Look directly into the camera. Let the good people know where they can find you and find all the information about the fantastic app called what's it called?
Slasher.
Thank you.
There you go.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Damon. The floor is yours.
So anybody interested in checking out the social network for horror, Slasher, check it out at www.slasher.tv. You'll find all the info there that you could possibly want. Join us as soon as you're able. I think you're going to have a good time with everybody.
Indeed. So, Damon, thank you so much, as always, for being on the Nightmares Podcast. And, hey, if you liked what you saw, you can find this wherever podcasts can be found, on Spotify, Anchor, and Apple Music, I think, or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, whatever the Apple thing is. And, of course, hold it there. And, of course, if you are watching this on YouTube, if it could be so awesome to stab that like button, smash that subscribe, and click that little dingy bell to be notified every time we drop amazing content right here on MHN. And you can find us on all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and
Slasher.
That is the application for all things horror. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on the Nightmares Podcast. Bye, guys.
All right.